This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And just in some breaking news, an aircraft has crashed into DFO near Essendon Airport, and I'm just seeing some pictures of that, and it doesn't look good at all. Plumes of smoke coming out of the DFO at Essendon Airport. So we'll see what comes of that. We'll bring you the news as it comes through, but that is a terrible situation there at the moment. Now, looking at this issue of drugs and pharmaceutical drugs, and this is something that the Alcohol and Drug Federation calls Australia's fastest growing drug problem, and it's a very good morning to Ilka Burnham-King, spokesperson from the ADF. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Well, tell us about what's actually going on.
Well, all the research is telling us that more people are dying from pharmaceutical overdoses than our national road toll, more than all illegal drugs combined. But what's the most shocking out of that is 70% of those pharmaceutical overdoses were accidental. And what that says to us is that a lot of people don't know the risks associated with taking addictive pharmaceuticals.
It's an interesting point, because when we hear about illicit drugs, there's very strong language and campaigns around that that make people aware. And I just wonder if maybe that lulls people into a false sense of security when they're using pharmaceutical drugs.
Well, I think, you know, people, if you're getting a script or you're getting it from your pharmacist, you assume it's safe.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, and this is what I found out, which was just threw me off my chair, is that the addictive pharmaceuticals, and I'm talking about strong painkillers and strong relaxants, are actually designed in such a way where it only works for a couple of weeks maximum. And then what happens after that period of time, they actually stop working.
Mm.
So somebody who's taking them, you know, can feel the effects that are dropping off, and they start bumping up their doses. And it's that bumping up of doses that starts presenting all the risks.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point, because I suppose we build up resistance to these drugs over time, and that happens right across the board.
It's resistance as well as the actual intended use of the drug. And, you know, we all have to start taking responsibility for this. This isn't just doctors. This is us sitting in a doctor's room and asking the right questions. You know, these medications are for serious symptoms, chronic pain. My partner suffers from chronic pain. It's not an easy journey. You know, symptoms like anxiety, trauma, depression. So they're serious symptoms, but this medication is only designed to treat it for the short term. So we need to start asking our doctors, what are the alternatives? What is the long-term solution to this particular symptom? Have I been on these for too long? What is the risk involved with me taking them for this period of time? So that's where the responsibility falls. And, you know, we sit in a culture of, you know, have we got a pill for that? Have you got a pill for that? That's our culture. You know, it's built up over the last 20 years and it's not going to change overnight. But, you know, that's what our campaign's definitely trying to address, is just raising the awareness around it. People have no idea that pharmaceuticals are claiming that many lives. And I say addictive pharmaceuticals, not just pharmaceuticals. I don't want anybody stopping their heart medication. It's their codings, the OxyContin, the diazepam and the Valiums, you know, those addictive pharmaceuticals.
Well, that was my next question. I mean, that was such a good point that you raised about the current state of affairs and the current expectations of the community, where we say, you know, is there a pill for that? Have we just been, I suppose, too willing to reach straight for a pill to solve even minor issues that maybe we don't need pills for?
You're absolutely right. And there's a gentleman that we've been speaking to as part of this campaign. And if you go to our website, adf.org.au, you'll see our campaign page. And a gentleman by the name of Chris, who experienced chronic pain, puts it beautifully. He says, you know, Ilka, the easy path led to the hard path. Now, no, the hard path leads to the easy path, and that is looking at what the alternatives are to taking, you know, the quick fix.
So you spoke about changing that culture and, you know, trying to look for other alternatives. What would you like to change that culture to? Like, for example, what sorts of other alternatives could we be embracing?
So there's a lot of alternatives that have good evidence behind them for being effective. So cognitive behavioural therapy, so CBT, you know, looking at how you can manage it with, you know, a chiropractor if it's chronic pain, mindfulness, meditation, yoga, osteopaths. You know, there's so many, depending on what the symptom is, there are other options. And that's why we're strongly encouraging the individual to book a double appointment with their doctor. We know doctors are short on time. Mm. And actually give the space and the time to have the discussion around what are the alternatives, what do they look like, and will it work for me?
And a doctor's good at communicating that sort of time frame issue that you mentioned, like, you know, we're going to prescribe this to you, but, you know, you can only really stay on it for 2 weeks. Or do people sort of get left after the script's been filled to work that out for themselves, you know, how long they should keep taking things?
Look, I can't speak for doctors,
yeah.
And that's why we're obviously putting the emphasis on the individual asking the right questions of their doctor. But we certainly heard from, you know, a lot of people that, you know, we do, people go in for an operation and they come out with, you know, a box of painkillers. They use it for, you know, a couple of days and the symptom might pass in terms of the pain. And then they'll have a box of, you know, strong painkillers left over. And then suddenly, you know, that individual might have a headache. And then they're like, oh, those pills worked really well. And they'll start taking it for the headache. And then they might start substituting it for that glass of wine just to wind down after a busy day of work. And it is a quick and slippery slope. And that's why we're talking to the fact that these are average Australians. This, we're not talking about the pointy end, you know, people who are predisposed to dependency already, you know. We're talking about people that are healthy, you know, mothers, fathers, uncles, brothers, sisters, who are using this medication for a significant and serious symptom and suddenly find themselves going beyond that intended use and becoming dependent. One in two people who use this medication are becoming dependent, Mitchell.
Yeah.
So, it's scary, and that's why we're trying to create some awareness around this where we can shift that culture to ask the questions and look at the alternatives as a long-term solution.
Yeah, the awareness, I think, is a good point because, as you suggested there, you know, I know a lot of people that have gone in for procedures and surgery over the years and they always go to the pharmacy on the way out and they've obviously got the prescription that needs to be filled and they never come out with too few painkillers, like, oh, it's not really going to last for long enough. They always seem to have heaps and heaps and heaps left over.
And it, you know, it is the easy option, and I'm not being unsympathetic to, you know, people who are obviously experiencing pain. And, you know, I certainly acknowledge the length and the hard work that you have to do in terms of fulfilling those alternatives. I've watched my partner do it. You know, but in the long run, you know, it's about being healthy and reducing those risks because they're real. They're absolutely real.
When you say this is Australia's fastest growing drug problem, how have you measured that? You know, is it really hard to work out what the actual consumption is of these products when a lot of it, I presume, is happening behind closed doors?
Well, if you just look at the, say, the prescription rate for strong pillars, they've increased from 500,000 in, you know, the early 1990s to 7.5 million recently. But, you know, just that in itself is like there's no signs of this declining in any sense.
Yeah, obviously that's well and truly outstripped any growth in population over that period.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all the other, I mean, just looking at the overdose rates, you know, that in itself is enough to say that the problem isn't getting better. You know, just in Victoria, we had 358 people dying a year. And if you compare that to, you know, road accidents of 257, that's, you know, that's a significant issue. And then if you look at how much money we spend on road safety campaigns, and rightly so, absolutely rightly so. So what is it that we're doing to help people who are having to use this medication for good reason only use it for the intended period of time?
Yeah, and just last of all, are painkillers the main point of focus? Or, I mean, you've mentioned other medications in there, but painkillers seem to be the biggest issue from what you've been saying.
Not necessarily. Painkillers and strong relaxants, and to be honest, the combination of the two are what really is showing to be the fatal combination. Is if you look at, say, the customer journey, I've gone in and had some surgery on my knee. I'm, you know, incapacitated for a period of, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. I'm not working. I become isolated. I become depressed. I go back to my doctor. I get some relaxants and some anti-anxiety pills, which are the benzos. Mm. And suddenly now I've got opiates and I've got benzos. And then I think I can still have my, you know, couple of beers on the weekend with some mates. And you've got this fatal combination of alcohol, benzodiazepines, and opiates, which all work on the central nervous system. So they slow down your breathing.
Yeah.
That's where you're seeing these accidental overdoses.
Mm. Well, thank you very much for bringing our attention to that. And I suppose people listening to this show will take heed of what you said. And hopefully your campaign is a success.
Thanks so much, Mitchell. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Ilka Burnham-King there.